It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, especially because we know what the hell we're going to do with all our Sundays this fall now. I mean, we knew we were going to be watching football, most of them anyway, but now we know which games we'll be watching on which days. The schedule is hot. Some people are mad. Some people are glad. Some people just want to talk about it. We'll do all of the above because I'm sure Kabali wants to sit here and break down games that are 6 months away from being played.
Yeah, you forgot some people don't care.
Yeah. No. We're all well aware that you don't give a rat's ass what order the games are played in right now.
It's just my pet peeve of...
Save it. Welcome into Kabali and Mac. Somebody's ready to go this morning. He's Mark Kabali. He's been covering the Steelers since you were pooping in your pants. I'm Chris Mack. I'm just here to facilitate things. The Dan Heck team is our presenting sponsor, and we appreciate them for being a part of the show. The Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com. Like I said, our presenting sponsors, we appreciate them so much for supporting Kabali and Mack here on YouTube, on X, on Facebook, wherever you're watching the show. We appreciate it. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. Heck, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. We are at 1,366 subscribers on the YouTube channel. That's a good number. That's a nice number. We appreciate every last one of those 1,366 people who have subscribed to Kabali and Mac on YouTube. However, another 134 people subscribe, Mark, and we will be at 1,500. You remember what happens at 1,500 subscribers? No, you keep your pants on. You don't run down the street half naked. You don't get anything except the pleasure and satisfaction of getting to talk to a few more people every day.
I get to...
We're going to give away an autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State football helmet once we get to 1,500 subscribers on the YouTube. Can't wait for that. Go to youtube.com/@KabaliandMack and get subscribed. Also, OTAs are right around the corner. May 27th, the first. Does the O stand for organized or optional, Kaboom? People are always confused about this. It stands for optional, doesn't it?
No, it's organized.
Organized? Either way, May 27th is the first OTA. There will be six of them this year before a mandatory mini camp the first week of June. And you want to know what's going on every single day? We're here to recap it for you and talk about it on Kabali and Mac. So this is the perfect time to get subscribed. Thanks again as well to our friends at Southwest Greens. Southwestgreens.com is where you go. Like, we have a good friend, right, Kaboom, who wanted to have Southwest Greens come out and take a look at their yard, and they reached out. Jake from Southwest Greens went out there, took a look at their yard, and they're thinking about, hey, maybe we'll just get the whole yard done, right? Maybe we'll just get part of the yard done. You could do all this too. All you got to do is go to southwestgreenspa.com. Our guy Jake, he'd be happy to hear from you and then talk to you about how you can have the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. Great for the kids, great for the pets, great for you, southwestgreenspa.com. Did our friend decide?
I don't know. All I know is I saw Jake, and I know he got contacted one day. Next day, he was there on time, ready to go.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful.
He ain't messing around. I said he was going up near Erie today, so they travel,
and they'll get it done for you. Like I said, you'll have the best-looking lawn in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance because it's a beautiful, beautiful artificial lawn that looks great and totally – I know you worry, artificial, is it? Yeah, it's better than spraying chemicals all over your grass and then your kids playing on it. So the schedule is out. And there are two six-week periods that I think have been talked about more than others. First of all, I want to give myself a pat on the back. I'm not that flexible, but I'm going to do it anyway. Pat myself on the back. I got 2 weeks exactly right, and three others I had the right opponent, but not necessarily the right time or day of the week. So...
Wow, you really got that Vikings one right. Great job.
Yeah, well, that's all you got right. That's literally the only week you got right.
That's how much effort I put into it.
You didn't even get the bye right, Mark. They were giving us that.
Hey, and he said he didn't want that bye. You know, they released the preseason, too. I didn't even know this.
I did see that. Yeah, the preseason. Hold on.
Well, they got
nobody cares about 15, the preseason. Only one home preseason game.
They got 18 days between the last preseason game and the opener.
That gets bigger and bigger every year. That spread between the last preseason game and the first.
Only one home game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a Saturday.
Yep.
Now, these are more interesting to me. At Jacksonville, at Carolina. Okay, so.
You going to make the drive down to Charlotte for a preseason game?
Nobody drives to
Charlotte. Hell no.
You know, it's another pet peeve of mine.
What?
To fly to Charlotte, you got to go to Nashville first or somewhere else, then go to Charlotte. But if you want to go to Nashville, you have to go to Charlotte first.
Right.
What are we talking about here?
I don't know. Hopefully, once they get this renovated airport opened, it'll make flying. I don't know if that has any.
Does that make any sense? I mean,
no,
it's just frustrating.
It's very frustrating. I mean, you could be covering the Chargers or the Rams and have to rack up like 30,000 miles this year. Those two teams, you know, out in Southern California, got to travel all over the place. Who is the team that I saw has the least amount of miles? It's the Bengals, isn't it?
Might be. Yeah, it's always somebody in the north because those three way games are so close.
Yeah, here we go. Least amount of travel this year. The Bengals, under 9,000 miles.
They probably don't go to the West Coast, I wouldn't imagine, then.
I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but I bet you're exactly right. Cincinnati, let's see. Well, they go to Denver. That's probably the farthest they have to go this year. Yep, Denver and Miami. That's the farthest they go, Cincinnati.
Oh, you know, how about those Cleve Clowns with all those primetime games, huh?
Blupkis, zero. Mierdo, or whatever Penta says. Zero primetime games for the Cleve Brownies. The Steelers, they got 4 primetime games, 5 standalone games, if you count that morning game over in Ireland. And we could talk about the teams that are going to be in front of your face constantly this year in a couple of minutes. But let's talk Steelers specifically. Again, I pat myself on the back for nailing Jets in Week 1. Chargers in Week 10 and Ravens in Week 14, even though I didn't necessarily have the right days on some of those. It doesn't matter whether we predicted them right or not.
I didn't even look at mine. I guess I got one right.
Literally the only one you got right, yeah, was the Minnesota game.
I was close on a couple.
You were kind of close on New England. You said Week 1. It's Week 3. I mean, wow. I will give you credit. I will give you credit where it's due. You had them playing the Bengals, Browns, and Ravens twice.
Well, at least we got that one correct.
Anyway, the 6-week periods that everybody keeps talking about, that I've seen people talking about for the Steelers anyway, are the first 6 weeks and the final 6 weeks. Before we get to the first 6 weeks and what was said about those first 6 games, I guess, 7 weeks in the Steelers' case, let's talk about the final 6 weeks. The final 6 weeks include the Buffalo Bills, in what right now, anyways, is scheduled to be like the main CBS game that day, 4:25 p.m. Then you go to Baltimore. Then you get the Dolphins on a Monday night. Then you go to Detroit, then at Cleveland, then Baltimore to wrap things up. So, look, the Dolphins game and the Browns game, I don't think necessarily scare you, although the Dolphins are kind of right there with the Steelers as sort of an 9.5 win team. The rest of them, though. Buffalo, Baltimore twice, Detroit in that mix over the last 6 weeks. It's not as bad as last year, Kaboom, the last 4 or 5 weeks last year. It's still not easy down the stretch.
Yeah.
That's what you got? Yeah?
Not easy when? In May? I'm going to have to get over this right now and just play along with it, but... I will say this.
Okay. I'm going to add a big caveat. I'm going to add a massive caveat for the entire schedule conversation. You need to just lock away in a corner of your brain so that when people want to talk to you about the schedule and the schedule release, you're able to do so. If everything remains the same, right? Like, if nobody's quarterback gets hurt, if no coaches get fired, if whatever, any, there's a world of possibilities that could happen to each team between now and the end of November.
Sort of teams that go 11-6 1 year, then 4-13 the next for no possible reason whatsoever.
Well, it happens because of like the Chargers would be a good example, right? The Chargers a couple years ago only won 6 games, I think it was, because Herbert was out for the bulk of the second half of the season, right? So, like, your quarterback gets hurt, the whole thing gets blown up. Nobody's going to argue that. Or maybe if the quarterback you think you're going to sign doesn't show up.
Okay, I'll play your game for you. You know, where I look at once again for probably now the third straight year is those last 3 games with Detroit, Cleveland, and Baltimore. Obviously, Detroit is a Super Bowl caliber type of team, and so is Baltimore. And they tend to lose a lot in Cleveland, at least recently. So that's a tough stretch right there of games at the end of the season. But those first 6 games are all winnable. I'm sure you have them at 6-0, right?
The first 6 games? No, I think I have them at like 4-2-ish, 3-3-ish through the first 6 games. I definitely, I will say this, don't have them at 0-6. I didn't pull the clip because I didn't want to credit ESPN for it. But the clip last night from ESPN schedule release coverage,
is over the top.
That involved, and if you haven't seen it on social media yet, I'm sure it'll get retweeted or posted into your feed soon enough. Justin on YouTube obviously saw it. Orlovsky or Orslovsky, as Justin calls him, which we may have to start calling Dan O that. Dan Orslovsky believes they're staring 0-6 in the face to start the season. And Lewis Riddick backed him up on that by saying the Steelers' opponents have the better quarterback situation in all 6 of those games. Especially if it's Mason.
That's totally not correct.
I'm going to roll through one by one here. And I saw Tone Diggs of the Pat McAfee Show kind of do this a little bit on Twitter this morning with a post he put up. But I had the same thought. Week 1, let's assume Rodgers doesn't come in, okay? Let's just work under that assumption because that's what they were working under last night on ESPN. Let's assume it's Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph against Justin Fields. I call it a push. What do you call it?
Well, I think Justin Fields has proven over his 50 career games, he's nothing more than a 1 out of every 4 game winner. So what's going to change this year because Aaron Glenn's here? No, I think, okay, you can say it's close, but I'm probably going to give it to Mason Rudolph because the handful of games that he has played, at least with the Steelers, I think he's been pretty good. So I don't know how you can just blanket say Justin Fields is better after seeing – I mean, Justin Fields wasn't good last year. Justin Fields wasn't good his years in Chicago. So what all of a sudden is going to make him good right now?
So I like Justin Fields better than you do. I think he managed the offense well. I understand the ball security issues, at least the fumbling issues.
Ball especially. Security, the accuracy, the decision-making. Other than that, he's great.
I think he fit well in the Arthur Smith offense, and in so much as he did just enough, right? He did just enough. The defense had a phenomenal first 6 weeks of the season last year. I don't want to take that away either from the conversation, but I'll just leave it at, I like Fields more than you, but I still have Rudolph and Fields as a push. So to sit there and talk about Justin Fields is so much better than
me. Now, if we're under the impression Aaron Rodgers is coming, what do you like?
I'll take Rodgers over Fields in that instance, especially all of the intangible motivations that may go into that game with Rodgers going back into Giant Stadium against the Jets. Okay, Week 2 against Seattle. Let's say it's Mason Rudolph again, right? If it's Aaron Rodgers, I take Rodgers over Darnold, right? Darnold last year, let's not forget, had his career resurrected while working with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. And who was the running back for them last year? Was it Aaron Jones who had a really solid year? The offense as a whole, Kevin O'Connell, quarterback whisperer, all that. So Darnold goes to Seattle now. And Darnold Rudolph, I got to be honest, again, probably a push for me. People think we're crazy for thinking this much of Mason Rudolph. I think that's the point that's been lost in the sauce here, is that everybody, nationally especially, is acting as if the Steelers have an orange barrel back there taking snaps at quarterback, when Mason Rudolph has actually had a winning record as the Steelers starting quarterback. So week two, Rudolph against Darnold, another push for me.
Yeah, I mean, the way they were talking, like it was like hands down, not even close to being a debate over these guys. We're talking about, you know, a quarterback, Sam Darnold, that nobody wanted 2 years ago, had to play a one-year prove-it deal, like you said, with one of the better offensive coordinators, if not the best offensive coordinator in the league, with a ton of weapons. Now he gets to throw to Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Cooper Kupp, you know, and hand the ball off to what's his back? Kenneth Walker, who's always hurt. His tight end's Noah Fant. I am not a Sam Darnold believer that he's going to go up there and be successful. So, once again, maybe it's not a huge gap, but to say absolutely not even close, that's just wrong.
Yeah. So, week three, they're going to New England, the Steelers, and it'll be either Mason Rudolph or Aaron Rodgers against Drake May. And again, this is all based off what ESPN spoke about last night, and that the quarterback situation in all six of their first opponents' rosters is better than what the Steelers have. May looked good at times last year. Again, I'd call it a push with Rudolph and a healthy Aaron Rodgers. I'll take Rodgers over May.
Yeah, Drake May has a ton of talent, but he has such a small sample size, not much more of a sample size than Mason Rudolph has. And this is a team that struggled the past couple of years. And once again, they don't have a lot of weapons either. Stephon Diggs is old, coming off a knee injury. Mac Hollins, DeMario Douglas, I mean, Hunter Henry. I mean, it's not like this team is in the mix for a division title. I mean, maybe they're in the same boat as the Steelers, or very darn close to it. But once again, to say nobody's even close, the Steelers aren't even close to this, is just once again wrong. I mean, back to the Jets, when Lewis Riddick says, well, the Aaron Glenn's going to blitz them and Mason Rudolph's going to not. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about a quarterback who's been around for 7 years with an offensive line that has a huge and high pedigree that's not going to get better, and they're not going to be able to pick up any blitz, and that's why they're going to lose to the Jets. I mean, it almost sounded like they had an axe to grind to me.
Yeah, it was really odd. Again, I can tell you why they love the Patriots. It's the Vrabel effect. Everybody loves Vrabel. Week four against the Vikings, we're talking about not a rookie technically, but a rookie quarterback.
Me and you have the same amount of snaps as him.
Exactly. Again, I because of the offensive weapons around him, maybe you want to call it a push, McCarthy against Rudolph. I'd take Rudolph in a one-game scenario. And I'd take Rodgers if he's the starting quarterback as well. The Steelers against a young, inexperienced quarterback. Game five in week six will be against the Browns. Do we need to talk about the cluster that the Browns quarterback room is?
I hear you.
We don't even know who the starter is going to be, but some people have already given the edge to whoever the Browns starter is going to be, to whoever the Steelers starter is going to be.
If for some reason Will Howard has to start that game for the Steelers, I'd give Will Howard the advantage.
Oh, wow.
That's how bad it is, right?
And then the sixth game in question at Cincinnati on a Thursday night.
Okay,
Joe Burrow. I'll take Joe Burrow over either Rodgers or Rudolph.
Yeah, we're talking about one of the elite offenses in the league. You probably can't name three more that are better than them.
But then let's just roll through the rest. Seriously, let's roll through the rest of the rest of the quarterback on quarterback matchups. Do I have the schedule exactly right? Is it Cincinnati that Thursday night?
Cincinnati followed by Green Bay.
Followed by Indy. Right. Okay, I do have it right. I thought I had that incorrect for a reason. But so let's just go. Let's talk about the opponents that have a better quarterback situation, because this is, again, the frame that's being built around every NFL team right now is, well, you're only as good as your starting quarterback, which I understand to a great extent. I do. But Green Bay. Okay, I'll take Jordan Love over Mason Rudolph. Jordan Love up against a healthy Aaron Rodgers. I'd probably take Love just by a smidge. Indy, we're talking about Anthony Richardson and Danny Dimes.
Is that
situation any better than Rodgers? Yeah,
you talk about an organization in shambles, man. They can't even get their schedule release video right. Delete it. Another pet peeve of mine, that thing has jumped the shark. Get rid of these stupid release videos.
I haven't seen I'll be honest, I've only seen two or three from this year. But I
still don't understand what the Steelers one meant.
I didn't even see theirs. What was it?
Nick Herbig and Keanu Benton were looking for a Yeti.
That's the theme of the schedule release video.
And somehow they found a Yeti, and it was like Cam Hayward dressed like a Yeti.
Okay. Hey.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't
understand. Social media teams do your thing, I guess. But yeah, the videos are what they are. Nothing's ever going to beat the Titans from 2 years ago. I'm sorry. You're just not going to beat people incorrectly guessing logos on Broadway.
What about the Browns taking shots at the Steelers?
I didn't see the Browns one either. What was their shot?
Just being like 8-8 every year or whatever like that. I'm like, dude, you've won 8 games in 10 years. You probably should, take a step back on this one, brother.
Might want to sit it out. Yeah. But so they play the Chargers, the Steelers do, week 10 in LA. Okay, I'd take Herbert over Rudolph or late stage Aaron Rodgers. That's fair. Again, they play Cincy.
By the way, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. All of a sudden, we're getting these national folks coming out saying, oh, it's going to be like probably right before minicamp. Yeah, where'd you hear that at first? About 2 months ago. It annoys the hell out of me. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers, but you have to obviously.
If we're,
he's 41 years old, maybe he doesn't make it to week 10. But
right, exactly. So week 12, they play in Chicago. Caleb Williams didn't show me much last year. I understand some of that has to
they
do with coaching.
A lot of young talent, but
they do.
Young talent.
But if you're talking about which quarterback I take in a QB versus QB matchup, I'll take Caleb by just a hair over Rudolph.
Not how he played last year.
No,
but we're assuming he's going to take that jump.
Yes, and I think it's maybe a push. An improved Caleb Williams against late stage Aaron Rodgers. Okay. Buffalo has Josh Allen, obviously, advantage Bills. Same thing goes for the Ravens games. Miami, you never know if Tua's going to be able to play or not. I'd
probably give it to Tua if Tua's healthy.
Yeah, I probably would too, by a small margin, but I would over each of the Steelers' options. And then Detroit, okay, Jared Goff has shown that. He can move that offense, especially indoors or, wherever they at home or wherever they may be playing indoors. So, look, there are clearly spots on the schedule where other teams have the quarterback advantage over the Steelers, right? Like, that's inarguable, I think. But to act as if they are in the worst situation in the league is disingenuous, I think, at this point. To your earlier point, we know it's going to be Rodgers now. And look, we can argue about how effective late-stage Aaron Rodgers is. I still think I'll take late-stage Aaron Rodgers over Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones or over whatever Cleveland is starting or, over Sam Darnold or Drake May, for that matter. Like, there are enough spots where the Steelers, again, assuming it's Rodgers, even if it's late stage Aaron Rodgers, have the quarterback advantage.
Yeah. I mean, I can't really explain the thought process behind it. I think a lot of it had to do, there was a huge switch when they dump George Pickens for, you know, a third round pick. All of a sudden it turned into a good offense to they can't win a game. But there's more to it. I mean, we've talked about what's more to it right now, and there is a such thing as addition by subtraction. And if half the people in that locker room didn't want to have anything to do with him, you know what? You don't keep him around. So I think that's maybe is what's why people – that and Aaron Rodgers is definitely a polarizing figure that I thought people didn't like Russell Wilson for being, you know –
corny
toxic positivity, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
I guess people don't like Aaron Rodgers because his outspoken demeanor, but I think a lot of that is somewhat personal too. Honestly, I do. I don't think certain people like Aaron Rodgers and would love to see him fail.
I'll be honest, the whole Aaron Rodgers and whatever ideas he has about things off the field, I've said this before, I'll say it for the millionth time, I don't care if he wins football games. I really
That's
don't.
You. I think a lot of people do.
Some
people do.
I just have a hard time attaching that much concern and care for what someone thinks off the field to how I think they're going to actually perform on the field, right? And then to also layer on top of it, hey, if I can dislike a player, right? Like, I'll use as a good example. I dislike Tom Wilson of the Washington Capitals. We'll use a hockey example, right? Dislike Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change the fact that I can acknowledge that he's good at what he does.
Yeah.
When I was a baseball fan,
a lot of people think he's a piece of crap. And
you can think a guy is a piece of crap. This is my point. But you can still acknowledge that they may be good at what they do. And again, how good Rodgers is going to be on the field is still up for debate because there's a couple schools of thought. We've traveled down both of these paths. One, he's just old and can't move anymore because once you've had an Achilles, it's never the same. You would know. You've lost all that short area quickness, right? Like you don't have the hops that you used to. None of that. The athleticism may be gone.
I can't even walk up the steps without doing the one footer.
I was giving you more credit than that. But anyway, and then the other school of thought with Rodgers is, yeah, but he's farther removed from the surgery. And so may finally have that rebound that people have a year after a catastrophic injury, whether it's an Achilles or an ACL or anything else.
He had a bunch of other injuries last year that went apparently undisclosed. So I think he was getting healthy near the end of the season. That's when you saw some of his better games too. So
the point is, you can acknowledge that Aaron Rodgers isn't what he was when he was at his MVP peak and will probably never be that again, but does still retain the capability, much like late stage Ben Roethlisberger did, of shooting lightning bolts out of his ass occasionally. And that when he does, it can take your offense from B minus to holy hell, we were down 10 with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and we ended up stealing a football game from maybe a team that was better than us, right? Like that possibility still exists with Rodgers. I don't understand. And I get what you're saying, that people have their preconceived notions about Rodgers and his thoughts on things and even the way he carries himself. There are people that just don't like him for a multitude of different reasons. But if you can't separate liking the person or the player, like I hated Barry Bonds as a person when he was active and playing baseball, but I acknowledge the fact that he's the greatest hitter of all time. I can do both. Then you're just being unrealistic. You can root against him even if you want and still acknowledge that he might be pretty damn good at times.
Yeah, but I think you have to come to the realization that a lot of people don't think like you do. They just don't like him, period, because of that. Nothing else.
Why do I have a hard time wrapping my brain around the idea of I don't like a guy, but I can still acknowledge that he's good at what he does.
I think you might be in the minority when it comes to that. Maybe only in Pittsburgh, maybe not. I think people just don't like him, period and say, yeah, he's a good player, but maybe with some of the elites, maybe like the Tom Brady's of the world, I hate him, but Aaron like, Rodgers, I think people just don't like him because of that.
And I don't care if Aaron Rodgers stands on a street corner and tells
you. People, we're not talking about you. I'm talking about the masses.
But I don't understand. That's my point. I don't understand how people can't reconcile the two things. I long ago, you know what? This may loop back on something. When Ben was a knucklehead early in his career, I reconciled myself to the fact that however Ben acted off the field, I just wanted to see him win football games and help the Steelers win football games. And Ben's behavior off the field eventually changed, right? He became a different dude. Yep. He got older. He grew up. He matured.
At least publicly.
I think
that's half the thing. That's half the battle, right? I mean,
I think probably, and I don't know him, but I think probably just as much privately. Like, we both talked to enough people who interacted with Ben in his early to mid 20s who have stories about what a jerk he was in some
huge
cases,
right? I mean, the biggest jerk in the world from 04 to what, 9 or 10,
but
biggest jerk in the world. But you know, I don't think people give him enough credit for how he did turn his career around.
Agreed.
I mean, maybe he was phony. I don't know.
I think it may have started phony, honestly. And this, we're going off the beaten path here, but it's because of a comparison I want to make. I think it was phony at first, but he faked it until he made it. That old phrase, fake it till you make it. He faked it. He faked being a genuinely caring person until he actually became one. And I think he is now. And I think he has been for a long time. And I think that happens to a lot of us in our late 20s. Well, we're assholes, to be quite honest. Honestly, and then we finally grow and mature enough into the point where we're not anymore.
I think I did talk to him one time. And I think, you know, he had three kids. And I think the first kid really manipulated him a little bit back to, hey, I got to get my stuff together.
Yeah.
That tends to happen, right?
Yeah, seriously. I'd say the same thing about a lot of us. In our late 20s, you know, I had my first kid when I was 29 or 30, and it changed a lot of the ways I acted towards people. And I think it does for a lot of people. You grow up and you mature, whether you have kids or you get married or whatever the situation is. Anyway, my point is this. I was able to reconcile the fact early on in Ben's career, hey, you know, if he acts like a jerk off the field, I mean, just win games so that I can root for everybody else on the field, right? And I could root for my team. And I could do the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. He could stand there and tell me to inject mercury directly into my eyeballs. I don't care. Because if he goes out and leads a game-winning drive in the last minute of the fourth quarter on the road against the Bengals or the Ravens, I'm going to be jacked up about that because my team won because of that guy, even if he's crazy or weird or whatever he might be away from the field.
Yeah.
Why can't more people put him in those canisters, Kaboom?
Because not everybody is level-headed as you.
As emotionally mature as I am.
Yeah. Trust me, I think a lot of people in Pittsburgh hate Tom Wilson. How's the young kid say? Full stop?
Full stop. Yes. But you can acknowledge that he's good at what he does, right?
Yeah.
Like our generation. Who do we talk about every time we talk about high school baseball?
Neil Walker? I don't know.
No, our guy up the street, Tim Vickers.
Oh,
by the way, was just named Texas Coach of the Year.
Big playoff win last night.
Big playoff win last night for TJ. He's a massive Barry Bonds fan, okay? We've sat, he and I, and argued about Bonds and what a jerk he is, but he's never going to be able to not like Bonds. I am able to look at it and say, I dislike the person Barry Bonds is, or at least the one that he was for a long, 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 long time. But I can still acknowledge he's the best hitter of all time. Like I said, you have to be, if you can't peel those two things apart, I don't know what you're doing in life. Like it's very similar. I would make the comparison to kayfabe in wrestling. Like if you can't separate,
kayfabe is dead.
It's not dead. Ask Al Snow. If you can separate kayfabe from the person that someone really is, I think you're going to enjoy life a whole lot more. If you can understand that what's happening in the ring or on TV or what's happening on the grass at Heinz Field is a show. It's all a show. And I just want to see my team win the show at the end of the day.
I still think you're just in the very, very minority.
So you really think most of the national media, especially, is down on the Steelers because they don't like Aaron Rodgers, the person?
I think so, yeah. That's why they didn't like Russell Wilson. They were just dying for him to fail.
Okay, so here's the question then. And I think this is going to be interesting. Why? Let's assume that they don't lose the quarterback matchup in a lot of those first six games that we talked about, right? Five games, I guess. Let's say they start the season pretty well again, like they did last year. Maybe not a 7-2 start or whatever it was. Is it 7-2? Yeah. 7-2. You remember that? You remember those days?
Yeah, and they lost to the Colts, which they shouldn't have, right?
Right. But they started strong. If they start strong again this year, let's say they open up, I don't know. Let's say they open up 4-1. Let's go crazy. Let's say 4-1. Jets, Seahawks, Patriots, Browns. The Vikings are in there too. 4-2. If they start 4-2 and Rodgers is playing well, are we going to see the whole world spin around on its heels again and go, oh, look at this, the Steelers?
No, it's going to be like, when's it going to collapse?
Yeah. That's
going to be. You know, now we're getting into the meat of the schedule where we play the Bengals and the Packers.
The Chargers.
One of the more overrated teams I've ever seen in my life with the most overrated quarterback I've ever seen in my life. Maybe not ever. But
not a big Justin Herbert fan, I know.
What has he ever done?
Who's he ever beat?
Honestly, what has he ever done? I mean, they put him up there with the elites, and what has he ever done?
I don't know if he's up there with the elites.
Well, when you talk about, hey, who are the best quarterbacks in the league, I bet you his name comes out of a lot of people's mouths.
I think he's a very good quarterback. I think he's talented. I think he can do really good things. I think they've asked him to do too much to this point in his career. Yeah, I think that's why Harbaugh might be the perfect coach for him and might have the perfect system for him. Anyway, I don't want to devolve into a Justin Herbert conversation. If they start well again, and they shock some people and they get off to like a 5-2 start or something, 6-3 start, it's going to be just like last year. Everybody's going to come around on Rodgers the way they came around on Russ. And
you're just too positive. I see it the other way. Wow, you're screwing up our chance to get a franchise quarterback. And for what? The lose in the playoffs? That's how I view the narrative going.
That will be the ultimate narrative at the end of the year. Yeah, because here's the thing, and I know you don't want to play the win-loss game, but they're still a 9-8 or 10-7 team. Even if all goes well, they're 10-7, right? That if all goes well, they are 10-7. If Rodgers comes in and stays healthy and the defense doesn't collapse down the stretch, they're 10-7. Mm-hmm. And in that scenario where they're 10-7, they're probably on the road in a wild card game, unless something crazy happens to the Ravens and the Bengals. And who knows? We're probably talking about going to Buffalo or Kansas City again or Baltimore. Okay. And in any of those scenarios, they still don't have enough, I don't think, unless something crazy happens, to get over the hump and actually win a playoff game. So, well, yeah, that'll be the narrative.
Let's play this game. In the AFC, which teams are head and shoulders above the Steelers? Like, you know, they're not even in this conversation.
Kansas City.
Buffalo. You're looking Baltimore. You're looking Kansas City.
Yep.
You're looking at.
Is that all you got? Just those three?
Head and shoulders. I'm not saying there's not other teams that are better. I mean, the Jaguars, Texans. No.
Okay. All right. Fine. Just Bears, those three. Just Broncos. Those three.
No. Head and shoulders three. So now you got what? Four teams shooting for, I mean, four spots left there.
Oh, no. And I would put them on par, the Steelers, that is, with, or maybe just barely behind, depending on which team you're talking about, your Chargers, your Texans.
Bengals.
All
those teams are flawed. Dolphins. All those teams are flawed, too.
Right. So they're in a group.
Line.
I agree. They're in a group of five teams that will probably end up battling for four playoff spots.
What, I mean, we talk about the Steelers' offensive line stinks.
Says that, though? Who says that their offensive line stinks?
Oh, you national clowns. But what did Q say? He says, you got the Ravens, you got this, maybe the Steelers.
Right.
He loves the Browns, and he goes, Cincinnati, huh?
Right.
Way down there.
Because they get the shit kicked out of Joe Burrow every year.
So what's Aaron Glenn going to do to Joe Burrow then? Going to blitz the hell out of him, Lewis?
I'm going to clip that and post it and tag Riddick in it just so he sees it. So I get your point, but they're one of those four or five teams that, unless something weird happens, is not getting beyond the divisional round and probably not beyond. One of those five teams has to get beyond the wild card round just because of the math.
I would like that opportunity, though.
I'm not arguing that you don't.
I don't want to go. If you're the Steelers or anybody who's a fan of the Steelers, go 6-11 and say, maybe we can get, you know, one of these six quarterbacks that might. I don't want that. Get them in the playoffs. Let's see what happens. That's always the goal, and I'm always for that. Always.
So give me a win total. How many games on this schedule do they win?
8-8-1.
Fucker. I can't believe you. I should have known you'd do that.
I always do that.
I should have expected that.
That was my. It's always my go-to line to make light of the situation.
Fine, 8-8-1. I say 10-7 if all goes well.
Oh, if all go with the caveat.
It's caveat.
What is if all doesn't go well? What's that considered? What?
Like Rodgers gets hurt early on or doesn't come in at all. Rudolph is the quarterback all season and. The defense doesn't improve at all from what we saw in the last 5 weeks.
Asked for the past 20 minutes. Now you're saying, well, Rudolph's playing. They're not going to win.
That's not what I – No. First of all, I didn't kiss Mason's ass. I said Mason is better than – there are people on the national level who want to talk about Mason Rudolph like he's a tackling dummy with no arms back there. Like, he is much better than he's being perceived around the rest of the league.
Yeah,
doesn't mean that if he's got to start all 17 games, they're in a spot where they're going to win more than 9 of them.
Yeah,
I don't think.
A lot of people look at what happened in Tennessee last year, and there's a reason why Tennessee was the number one overall pick this year, because they're awful roster.
Yeah, and Levis sucked, and they had to go to Mason. So there you go. My point is not about Mason or Rodgers, or it's just if things don't go as we expect them to, they're an 8 or 9 win team. Probably 9, because Tomlin will drag them kicking and screaming to 9 wins. It's just what he does. Or 8-8-1. Sorry. I want to leave that alive there for you. Are you just responding to all the comments now? What are you doing?
Some people were texting me and I just saw it.
Is something important going on? No? Okay. Good to know.
More than listening to you opine about Mason's good and Mason's not good.
I never said Mason wasn't good. Mason's
if everything goes right, if this doesn't
Mason
go right.
Is a 9.5 win quarterback. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's just like Seinfeld.
Exactly what this team needs offense.
Actually. Even, man. You're like 8-8. If this, if not this, if this, if this.
So you can't just refuse to talk about any games beyond like week 1 because, we don't know what could happen. A volcano could explode off the coast of Oregon. Any games.
It could be like Dark Knight. What if Dark Knight happens and Heinz Field just like crashes into a crater?
Yeah.
I don't know how it could happen since it was like right next to a river.
What if the Earth stops spinning and gravity ceases to exist and we all float up into the air?
If the Earth starts spinning, I mean, I'm quite sure that we're all dead.
Right, exactly. So anything could happen.
We all just
I get
start hurling through space or through the air at 7 million miles an hour or however fast the Earth's spinning.
Right. So I get it. Anything's possible. But I
Is Super Bowl possible?
Anything's possible. I want you to stay positive, okay? Thanks to our friends at Nail Studio 2 in McMurray, Peters Township, right there at Donaldson's Crossroads. You want to get there if you've got someone who, I don't know, maybe there's a graduation coming up, a prom, something special going on, or you got a lady in your life that just needs to get her nails taken care of. Nail Studio 2, Roman numeral 2, nailstudio2.com. Lily, Summer, Selena, the best nail techs in the biz. They're looking to hire some new ones as well. You could always give them a call at 724-941-4595, 724-941-4595. And hey, guys, let's be honest. You can get a pedicure. Nobody's going to tell. Now, your feet may be nasty, and it's going to be pool and beach season soon. Get those dogs cleaned up just a little bit, okay? You don't got to go all the time, but maybe just stop in and get them cleaned up just a little bit, okay? So you're not going out there with the toenails that are all curled and yellow and that. No, go get it all taken care of. Nail Studio 2, McMurray, Peters Township, right there at Donaldson's Crossroads. Nailstudio2.com online, 724-941-4595. Thanks to them for jumping on board with Kabali and Mac. So we're going to get 8 Kansas City Chiefs games shoved down our throat this year, Kaboom. Also 8 Washington and 8 Dallas standalone games as well. Are you tired of the Chiefs yet? Thanksgiving, yeah, Christmas, every week they're in prime time.
No, because as long as they're playing on Thanksgiving and Christmas means I don't have to go on Thanksgiving and Christmas, so. Let them keep having their primetime games. And that's one plus about this game is there are no Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, whatever games for the Steelers. I mean, I just don't know what the allure. I can understand the allure of Kansas City. Okay, they've won, what, 3 or 4, whatever. I mean, they won.
Yeah.
Why does anybody give a rat's ass about Dallas? I just don't understand it. They haven't even been to the NFC title game since 1995. I think you were still in high school.
I was. So were you.
Why does anybody care about Dallas?
Because people watch them. Because they
watch them because they make us watch them because it's the only thing they put on prime time.
That's an interesting chicken or the egg conversation. Like when they're on at 4:25, like it doesn't matter if they're playing. I don't know. Pick a random team that they could be playing the Cardinals, right? And people still watch it because there's the Cowboys fans, much
everything.
Like
people watch the Jaguars and the Titans.
No. If that was on at 4:25, I would go outside and find something to do.
Welcome to Irving, Texas. I was trying to do my summer all.
That was pretty close to summer all. I actually knew what you were doing there. Welcome to Irving, Texas. Boom! Summer All Madden, best commentary team of all time.
Well, growing up with them, I would guess. I mean, right now they've switched people around so much. Those guys were together for what, 20 years? So they're synonymous with football and big games. And Summer All was not the most gifted. He didn't have the most gifted voice. But when Summerall talked, you could tell he meant business.
There was some gravitas in his voice, right?
Felt like something big was happening.
Yeah, and he didn't. There were times, especially late in his career, like he was never an excitable guy, right? Mm-hmm. Never a yeller and screamer.
Cowboys.
Yes, like Aikman could drop back, dodge 6 blitzers, and chuck one up down the middle of the field, and Alvin Harper or Michael Irvin runs under it and goes 85 yards for a touchdown.
Touchdown, Dallas.
Yeah, and it would be Aikman, back to pass. The Eagles bring the rush. He evades Reggie White, throws it deep. Irvin, touchdown, Cowboys. And it was like no yelling, no screaming, not like those goofs on the Bengals broadcasts, who I think might be the worst broadcast team in the NFL. Have you ever listened to a Bengals radio broadcast?
Probably not.
It's nonstop screaming and complaining. It's like watching a game.
It's like watching the Buccos.
It's no, stop. It's love, Bronny. It's like sitting in a seat at that loser stadium, whatever it's called now, Paycheck Stadium, Paycor Stadium, in between two Bengals fans. And all they do is yell and scream at everything that's happening. Anyway, that's my thoughts on the Bengals radio commentary.
I could give you my thoughts on the Buccos commentary. We got to the point the other day where I think Brian Reynolds made a throw to second base, and then it was still a double, and didn't get him out, and then they spent 15 minutes talking about how great of a throw it was. Like, he just got a double. He didn't throw him out. What are we doing here?
I'm not going to bag on the Pirates broadcast.
What a throw. Unbelievable throw. I'm like, did he just get a double?
I'm not going to bag on him. Those guys are making the best chicken salad they can out of that. You know what?
They are rare. It's sometimes rare. There's another pet peeve. I got so many pet peeves. You might have to cut them up and like put them all in one here. My biggest pet peeve is when they don't get the call, a strike call. Oh my goodness, what a terrible call. This is getting out of control. Disgusting. Then one goes for him. Well, we're getting the breaks. It doesn't work that way. I hope there's never robo umpires. You know, back in my day, Mac, what did they tell you when there was two strikes on you? Protect the plate. Yeah. It was close swing. Now the ball's like, this much outside, but it hit the line. We're getting screwed.
Man, maybe baseball isn't for you.
Box. Get rid of that stupid box. Get rid of robo umpires. Swing when it's close and two strikes. That's how baseball should be played. And by the way, I hope Pete Rose gets into the Hall of Fame. We can move on.
What? You know he's still not going to get in for like another 25 years, right?
Oh, I'm not voting for him. Section 14.
I ain't voting for him. He bet on the – it was right there on the wall, kaboom. You're not supposed to do it.
Section 7.
You're seven. Not – why would I do that? I knew you'd appreciate
it. I texted him the other day.
Who? Ron texted you?
No, I text Ron random pictures every once in a while.
Why do you bother the man? He's retired.
Because he gets a kick out of the pictures I send him.
What did you send him? What kind of pictures are these?
I really can't say that right now.
Wow. Jeez. Clear the browser history.
No, it's a couple people that he
is not a fan of?
No. He just likes it's a couple.
It's a husband, I don't even think
a husband and wife that he gets a kick out of. Put it that way.
Okay. I don't need to know anymore. I don't. I don't think I want to know anymore.
You'll be the first thing you ask me once you end this.
It won't. I'm thinking about it now, though. I can't help but wonder. Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC. Give them a call at 412-297-1852. Have them check out the AC before you got to kick it on. Going to be in the mid to upper 80s here in the Berg today. I just called it the Berg. Which nobody ever actually does.
Yeah, they don't. They don't call it the Berg. They don't.
It's going to be hot out there. You want to get the AC tuned up before you have to turn it on. By all means, give them a call. 412-297-1852 on Facebook. Impact HVAC PGH. Whether it's maintenance work, whether it's installing a new system, or just tuning everything up that's already working well for you, they'll take care of it for you. Impact HVAC. Thanks to them for supporting us here on Kabali and Mac. Can we agree? I know, since you're in real like pet peeve, old man, curmudgeonly, want to bitch about everything mode today. No, I know there's one thing that you definitely will agree with me on if I bring it up to bitch about. And that is this insistence that some people have had over the last week, because this happens in sports talk, right? Whether it's on TV, on the radio, podcast, wherever. Something happens in one sport, and people take it and try to apply it to their favorite sport.
I have no idea what you're talking about, so this should be interesting.
The NBA draft lottery. The Dallas Mavericks won the draft lottery the other day. You don't know, and you don't care. It
happens every once in a while.
Right? 1.8% chance. of winning the draft lottery, and they won it. And everybody's
some,
up in
some arms. Some people say that was your chance of getting married back in the day, right? 1.8% chance.
You're just taking all the big swings today, huh?
Mine might have been less than that.
And everybody's up in arms. It's rigged. Oh, my God. I can't believe this. We need – and then their next take is there should be a lottery in the NFL. No, there shouldn't. No, there shouldn't. You know why? Because
you can't tank. You can't tank in the NFL.
Exactly.
Number one.
In fact, well, here, in every other major North American professional sport, they have fixed tanking through much longer seasons with many more games by instituting lotteries, right? Even in baseball now, there's a lottery. In the NFL, we've actually seen in the last few years, recently, where teams have cost themselves the first overall pick by trying to win games at the end of the season.
Last year, I believe, right?
2 years ago. Remember? Well, part of that was Lovie Smith knew he was getting fired, and he wanted to screw the Bears on the way out the door.
I thought the Titans got that somehow.
No. It wasn't Lovie. Was it Lovie in Houston? That's what it was. Was he interim?
No.
Damn it, I can't remember now. It was when it was the Bears and the Texans. And Fields and Stroud. Or not Fields. Good sweet Jesus. Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud. And the Bears weren't going to have the first overall pick.
No way that was Lovie. That was that other guy that they brought in just to be a sacrificial lamb.
Who was the Texans head coach that year then? Make sure I get the name right. Somebody in the comments save me before I say one more name wrong.
It was the guy they just brought in for 1 year, like I said, to be a sacrificial lamb, and they dumped him.
It's going to drive me nuts. I got to get it. Hold on. No, it was Lovie.
Who was after Lovie then?
D'Amico got hired after Lovie. You're then thinking of
before Lovie.
David Culley.
That's who I was thinking about.
Yeah. Point being, Lovie got 1 year as well, and at the end of the 2022 season, he knew he was going to get fired, and the Texans could have had the first overall pick in the draft. Now, interesting, they probably don't take C.J. Stroud in that case, and it wasn't Caleb Williams and C.J. Stroud. Jesus, my head's all over the place. It was Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. But the point remains. He went out there, and he won the final game of the year, and it cost them the first overall pick. And so tanking is not an issue in the NFL is the point. It's just not.
It was in 1984 in the NHL.
It was, and it worked out. And then and then they instituted a lottery. I don't know what you want me to say about that. But
your favorite Pittsburgh team was built on a tank job, right?
I don't care. What do I care? What do I care if the history of hockey in Pittsburgh is built on the back of a tank job? Did it work? Okay, it worked. And then they fixed tanking in the NHL by instituting a lottery. Did they not?
Yeah.
My point is, it doesn't happen in the ping pong bowl. It doesn't happen. Why do you keep bitching about the Penguins and lotteries and ping pong?
I know it bothers you.
It doesn't bother me, actually. I think it's funny that you keep bitching about it.
You're getting a little irritated.
I'm not getting irritated. I was more irritated at the suggestion that the NFL should have a draft lottery.
I think the NFL is it's actually working. So I think they should be all right. I mean, whatever they're doing is working.
Yeah, stop with the suggestion. It drives me nuts when something happens and people try to take it from one sport and apply it to the other.
Plus, it's a lot. There's not many times in the NFL there is that slam dunk, can't miss number one overall pick like you see in maybe the NBA, like you see in the NHL. I mean, it happens, but I don't think it would, if you go through it all, I don't think it would happen as much as the other sports, you know, because.
Agreed. So stop talking about the NFL needing a draft lottery. It's stupid. The NFL draft and the lead up to it, from post-Super Bowl right into the combine, into pro days, into the draft, is just about as perfect as it is. The system.
What do you make of the number that was out there? If you want to watch every NFL game you got to pay like $1,500 with all the streaming services.
Find a better system for watching your games.
What are you saying? You're cheating. You got the old cheater box.
Find the modern technological equivalent to a cheater box. That's what I would suggest. I would never have something like that.
You got Prime, you got YouTube, you got ESPN.
Yeah, there's a game on YouTube. Isn't the Brazil game on YouTube this year?
It might be Apple TV plus all the other games.
I know you get mad every time there's a Pirates game on a Friday night and you try to watch it and then it's on Apple.
The only thing that makes me mad about that is I paid $23 for the goofy app just to watch the Pirate game until I can't watch the Pirate game because it's not on the goofy app that I paid $23 for.
That sounds like an issue you need to take up with Sportsnet Pittsburgh.
It's the worst app ever. I click it on and it does spinning wheel for 9 minutes.
You got to log in earlier.
Turn it off. Turn it back on spinning wheel. Then I hit the button.
You know what's surprising to me? Honestly, you invest a lot of time in the Pirates, don't you? Or you try to anyway.
There's not a lot to watch during the summer months. So I'll cancel it here like in July. But, you know, I'll watch it here and there. I mean, it's hard to watch this time. The problem now is by the time I get home and, you know, the kid has a game or whatnot.
Right.
Turning on, it's already 13-0. So I'm like, no use watching this.
But like when you are home at night, you almost every night will turn on the Pirate game, won't you?
Turn on to see what it is. And once it's 7-0, I shut it off.
See, can I make a suggestion? As much as I grew up a baseball fan and it was the first sport that I really loved, I have gotten to the point now with the Pirates specifically and kind of baseball in general, where as long as there are playoff games to be watched in other sports, I'll put those on. Like I'll go in my ESPN app and check the scores of everything, see which game is the closest, and then I'll turn that game on. And if the Pirates are losing 13-0, like you say, I don't waste my time with it. I don't let it bother me anymore. I don't let myself become emotionally invested in it. I just say, you know what? I'll watch the Pacers and Cavs then, or the Panthers and the Maple Leafs.
I usually don't watch NBA regularly until we get to the conference finals, and I'll jump in. Hockey, forget about it. Doesn't interest me.
So you'd rather spend, let's say, an hour, okay? I'll just take an hour.
Pacers-Knicks goes back to my youth there, baby.
Yeah, I think this will be their third meeting in the conference finals if the Knicks can close out the Celtics tomorrow. Is it tomorrow or the next day? And it's perfect lead into SummerSlam, too. Halliburton and Brunson. Remember that last year?
Halliburton.
I told you.
New York.
Did I tell you that weeks ago, by the way, the Halliburton-Brunson thing? I told you.
Maybe get Travis Scott out there too, and maybe speed. I show speed.
Hey, don't give Hunter too many ideas.
He'll pull George Kittle out there. Yep. I don't think Kittle can do it because I think camp starts. So you're screwed. Oh, well.
But you probably spend if you had an hour each night to spend. That's it, just an hour between like everything you got to do with the kids, and then you got to put them to bed and all that.
Well, I don't do that.
You don't spend any time putting the kids to bed. You're just like, hey, yes. Go brush your teeth and go upstairs, go sleep.
Go to bed.
What?
I can't say it very loud. But that's why you have a wife.
You know, like,
no, they're old enough where you're like, hey, go to bed. Tuck me in. I'm like, what? You're like 8 and 10.
Tuck yourself in. I don't care if you fall asleep. Lay there with your eyes closed.
You literally will be. I do. I'm very jealous by if I tuck them in, by the time I get down the steps, already sleeping. It's like, how is this possible? This is unbelievable. I sit there for like an hour.
Just staring at the ceiling.
The kids are like, 8 seconds out.
But if you spend an hour each night choosing to watch something, why are you investing that hour in a team that doesn't want to
invest to make fun of them?
To make fun of them. Wouldn't you rather watch a good game? regardless of the sport. You know,
at this point, I hope the Pirates just suck because.
Well, that's not the attitude to have.
Because it's at the point right now where
I'd rather they end up good and surprise me.
No, I'm actually liking a little bit of. I mean, we've been ripping on the national people, but you see the Jeff Passons of the world and some of the other national guys coming out and saying, "What in the hell is going on in Pittsburgh with this nutting guy? Only it took you 20 years to jump on board here."
Well, can I tell you what worries me, though, in all seriousness? This could be a conversation we could have in greater detail later this summer, but it's one that's been floated to me by a few people. And it's not, it starts as a conspiracy theory when you think about it, but in the end, you go, oh shit, that could actually be a thing. That they're convinced that if they can alienate enough of the fan base and piss enough people off and drive them away, that when the lease is up on the ballpark in 2030, they'll be able to find a way out, like out of Pittsburgh. Where and it what?
Why would Bob Nutting want to leave? He's got a cash cow right here.
He'll sell the team.
He ain't selling no team. There's a reason why he's a billionaire, because he knows how to make money. And why would he go somewhere else when he knows how to make money here? Where's he going to go to? Like
Nashville?
The Nashville weren't they the AAA team of the Pirates way back when?
They were for a little while, a couple years. Nashville, Charlotte.
There was one that was crazy.
There's plenty of teams.
There was double A team in Hawaii, wasn't there?
There are plenty of cities. No, their triple A team was in Hawaii for a couple of years. Plus, Barry Bonds played triple A ball in Hawaii for like half a season.
Calgary one too.
Yep. They had it in Calgary for a while. Yep. Yes, you're right, Justin. That is the plot of the movie Major League. Where they get bad enough that everybody stays away and the owner tries to move. Remember?
Last thing I want to see is Bob Nutting with taking like little stickers off to see him naked.
I just worry that with the lease up on the ballpark in 2030, that if things are still this bad in another 5 years and they haven't come to some kind of agreement, that it could be bad. It could open the door to some really bad scenarios. And as much as they drive me nuts and as much pain as they've caused me over the years, I could not imagine them leaving. That would be difficult. That would be really
well. I could see it being a ploy to somehow get some more money somehow. I don't know what they're. I don't know if they how much they rake in from the parking and the concessions and all that stuff. Maybe that's a way just to use it to get more money out of the city to keep them here.
What's easier for someone who doesn't want to invest a lot of money on an annual basis to make the team that much better? What's easier? Actually dipping into your own pockets and ponying up the money for better players and ballpark improvements and all that kind of stuff, or coming up with the excuse that nobody cares about this team and getting a big relocation fee and a shiny new ballpark in a completely different city where you get treated like the darlings for a few years before everybody realizes that you're full of crap?
I just don't think Bob Nutting cares about that. Bob Nutting cares about making money.
If it means more money by going somewhere else, bang, there you go. That's your scenario right there.
I just don't know how you, if you're the Major League Baseball, would even allow that. You got one of the best ballparks in America. You don't invest in the team here, and when you do, the people come, and now you're just going to move out because of why?
If they had it, I'm not saying today, I'm not saying tomorrow, I'm not saying next year or the year after that. I'm saying if another 4 or 5 years of fans being completely turned off to the point where they don't go to the ballpark happens, imagine what happens in what, 2-3 years when they trade Skeens because he hits arbitration and he's making 25, 30 mil a year. You think any more people are going to go to the ballpark?
See, I was under the impression that it doesn't matter how many people show up, that he's making his money. If nobody comes, if he fills the ballpark, he's still making a ton of money. It has nothing to do with it.
I don't know.
The attendance factor because of all the external money he's getting, which I would assume that a handful of MLB owners are not happy about. Keep forking over to this guy who's just putting it in his pocket.
Well, and he's not the only one. There's a couple other ones like that too. But if that's the case, then they need to actually create a salary floor to force him to spend that money and also put a cap in place. One final thought from Bucko. Dan, they're not going to allow PNC Park to be bulldozed or sit empty. I don't know if MLB would care. I don't think MLB cares. MLB, just like Bob Nutting or anybody else in the world of sports and entertainment, just wants to make money. So if MLB could make hundreds of millions of dollars more by even a storied franchise, a historic franchise like the Pirates, who've been around for 115 years or whatever, longer than that, could make more money by them moving to Nashville or Portland or Charlotte or someplace like that, they'll do it. They don't care. They don't.
Their cash cows are Chicago, L.A.
Yep, New York.
New York, maybe Washington. I don't even know.
Oh, one final note before we wrap up here, and don't forget to subscribe so we get to 1,500 subscribers on YouTube quicker, and then somebody wins that autographed Pat Freiermuth Penn State helmet. One final thing, our guy Rick Tocchet will not be Penguins head coach, kaboom. Got hired by the Flyers last night. Going to get paid a boatload of money to coach the Flyers. So. We're going to have to root against Rick Tocchet. 5 or 6 times every year.
So you got Sully to the Giants. The Rangers, and Tocchet to the Flyers.
It's tough, man. It's tough.
Whoever gets hired by the Penguins, you're going to say, who's that? I can see that coming.
It's going to be one of two things. It'll be, who's that? Or, oh, I know that guy. He's an old retread. Like, there's not much in between.
I don't see Dubas doing retread.
I don't either, but if all the young up-and-comers are like, I'm good on trying to rebuild, you never know.
But you got a chance to rebuild with 87 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Years. So.
All right. Well.
It's a disaster. Pittsburgh sports are a disaster.
This is an unmitigated disaster, horse.
Lucky Penn State's around, right?
What's that?
Lucky Penn State is going to be national championships. There would be nothing to root for, right?
Right, baby. We'll see how that goes.
At least you got a lot of receivers.
When your top incoming wide receiver is a dude from Syracuse, I think you're crossing your fingers and knocking on wood a little bit that your quarterback actually has some dudes to throw to.
Other than that, I don't know how are the Riverhounds doing. Hands.
I don't know. It's a good question. You want me to look it up real quick, or you want to just end the show?
Ludus Riggs on ripping on the Steelers again.
Again? Hold on, Riverhounds.
He's either. Oh, no, they're just replaying it. Now they're reacting to his replaying of Damian Woody and Stephen A. Smith. This should go over well.
Riverhounds are 7th in a 12-team division right now, but they've only played 8 matches.
Jeez, man.
They are 2-4-2. They've won 2, lost 4, tied 2. Because it's soccer, and there's lots of hope.
There's no hope.
It's terrible. It's awful. All right, we'll figure things out between now and next Monday. And next Monday, what will we talk about? Who knows? Aaron Rodgers could be in the fold by then.
Monster Jam this weekend.
Monster Jam. Look out, buddy. You're going to have a good time.
Oh, yeah, I tell you, I can't wait. I'm taking the Gateway Clipper. I'm going full on Yinzer.
I love it. Park at Station Square. Take the Clipper over.
I don't think I've ever done that, so I might be afraid.
It's not hard to do. It's literally like,
oh, I don't want to go on no damn boat. Last time I was on a boat, I went on a cruise. We went through like Tropical Storm Joanne or something, and that damn boat was going.
You understand there's a fundamental difference between a cruise ship going through a tropical storm in the ocean and like the good ship Lollipop on the Mon on a Saturday afternoon.
You don't know how to swim.
You don't mean that, right?
No. Why would I know how to swim?
Hold on. This is going to be a complete spin-off episode.
Growing up Bell Vernon. Not everybody. I didn't live in Baldwin where everybody has a pool in their backyard, cake eater.
Everybody doesn't have a pool in their backyard in Baldwin. You go to the pool.
And you have what? What?
Huh? I have a pole now. No, I did when I was a kid. Okay. You had to walk all the way down Churchview to the pole, the Baldwin pole.
We don't even have a pole here, do we?
No. Jefferson Swim Club burned down years ago.
Can you go to the high school and use that pool or no?
I don't know. Go up there and find out. Tell them you want swim lessons.
I'll tell Vickers.
He'll take care of it for you. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of Cabali and Mack. We'll do it again soon and talk about, I don't know, whatever the hell's going on, how Kaboom can't swim maybe. I don't know. Have a great day, everybody. We